All right, we're recording. Let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord, just to give you all the glory and the honor and just ask that you would dwell with us. Lord, we just seek your presence and ask that you'd be with us, that as we open your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would guide us, and that you would lead us, that we could see ourselves through your word, that we could be better equipped to live in this world that we're in today. And Lord, we just invite your presence and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I have been informed we actually went through 145 through 152, but we're going to just touch bases on it real quick to get us back up to speed of where we're going. We're going to finish Psalms 119 today, I imagine. That's the goal. We've been doing what, for 2 months now, close to it? I looked at my notes today. I had 11 pages written on Psalms 119 as we went through it. So it's turned out to be a pretty good study. As we discovered, the key to it is obedience. It's obedience to God's word. It's not obedience to what people tell you, what you heard, but it's obedience to God's word. If we're going to be obedient to God's word, we owe it to ourselves to be in it, to read it, to see what it says. There's too many arguments, too many discussions of people saying, well, the Bible says this, but if they go read it, they see that it might say something different. We owe it to ourselves to read it, to get in it, to read it, to see what it says. So we're going to pick it up in Psalms 119, verse 145. He started off, he said, I pray with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. You know, we touched on that. He said, I will pray with all my heart. When you go to God and pray, you pray with your heart. Pray with your heart. When I was a youth pastor, one of the things that I always try to instill in the kids, be honest with God. So many times we don't give him the full truth. Lord, I promise I'm going to do this if you get me out of this. And then once he gets you out of it, you don't go back and do it. You know, you have to give him your heart. You have to pray to him with your whole heart. And if you say, God, I'm going to serve you, then serve him. He said, I pray with my whole heart. Answer me, Lord. He said, I will obey your decrees. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. He said, I will obey your decrees. That's what's important. When we go to God in prayer, we have to say, I will obey your decrees. Now, this morning's message is about waiting, anticipating, creating. As we wait, the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, but pray about all things. Sorry, you're good. But when he says, be anxious for nothing, that means don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So to be obedient to God's word, we worry about nothing, but pray about everything. You see that? So when we go to God in prayer, if I'm going to say, God, I don't want to worry, then he says, okay, then be obedient to my word. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. And we're going to get into it this morning, but that's just a small illustration when it says, I will pray with my heart, answer me, Lord, I will obey your decrees. I will obey your word. I will obey your instructions. He goes on verse 146. I cry out to you, rescue me, that I may obey your laws. I think it's interesting. Here we are in the first two verses. We see obey twice. God wants obedience from his children. He wants obedience from his children. He wants us to obey his word. Look, he says in verse 147, I will rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your word. Let me ask you, where's your hope at? It's in Jesus. We can look at the sanctity of marriage. I didn't want to touch on that, but I'll touch it real quick. People are putting their hope in the legislation. They're putting their hope in Congress. They're putting their hope in government. But yet you go to the book of Romans, and it says when people don't worship God for who he is, they make up in their mind who he is. And for that reason, God gives them over to their own. And as a result, their lifestyle becomes X, Y, and Z. So when you see America embrace that lifestyle of X, Y, and Z, then what you have seen is America has made up in their mind who God is. And they don't worship him for who he is. So he says, I'll give you to your own, and you can do what you want. You can do what you want. See, the thing is we put our hope in God. God already knows what's going on. He has the outcome already planned. He's not taken by surprise of the Supreme Court's ruling. He knew it before it was going to happen. You know, so many Christians want to get upset and protest and argue and fight. Trust God. Trust God. Put your hope in his word. And in the end, it says we win, doesn't it?
Yes.
So we don't have to look at our circumstances. That's part of the anticipation that we go into this morning. But we don't have to look at our circumstances and be upset. But you anticipate that God is in control. The victory is His. He's got a plan. All you got to do is trust Him. All you got to do is trust Him.
See? I had that exact conversation with Wally on the way here this morning. I'm like, this world is crazy and we don't understand it. I said, but we're not supposed to. We just have to trust God.
Put my hope in your word.
We have to trust Him that He already knows everything, and we just got to sit back and let Him do His thing.
So moving on to verse 148, he says, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. I like this. I like it. How are we revived? By following God's word. Sometimes life dishes so many blows to us. Sometimes we have so many things that come against us. But yet you're revived by following His word. You're going to encounter so many heartbreaks. You're going to encounter so many disappointments through life. You're going to encounter so many failures through life. So many mistakes. You're going to encounter them. It's going to happen. But how do you get lifted back up? Let me be revived by following your instructions. When you get knocked down, you get back up, you get in His word, and you follow His instructions. We're all going to fall down. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. But the promise and the hope is that you don't make that same mistake. That you repent from that mistake to get back up. To get back up and live that out right. You are revived. You are brought back to life because of following His word. When you follow His word, your life changes. The same mistakes don't happen. You overcome them. You know, we can talk about the maturity of Christians, or the baby Christian, the middle stage, and then the fathers. It says the young men are strong in the word and they will overcome. When you're strong in the word, you overcome. Sometimes we have to exercise mentally by reading, school. You got to exercise physically, working out, exercising. And you got to exercise spiritually by being in your word. You got to do all three to make it all come together. And then in verses 150, lawless people are coming to attack me. They live far from your instructions. You know, we talked about this last week. This is kind of hand in hand with ISIS. It's kind of hand in hand with the persecuted church. David said, lawless people are coming to attack me. Why? Because they live far from your instructions. People who's against God's word is going to attack the Christians. It happened back then. It's happening today. It's going to happen tomorrow. Don't look at it and be surprised by saying, oh, we need to form a rally and stand with the persecuted church. Yeah, pray for them. But it happened then. It happened now. It's going to happen tomorrow. You know, it's going to happen. So you just have to say, lawless people are coming to attack me. They're not attacking you because they don't like you personally. They're attacking you because you stand for Jesus. The Bible tells us that. The Bible, you know, Jesus even said, He said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Him, they're going to persecute us. Why do you think the Word tells us in Matthew 5:44 when He says, pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless those who persecute you. You got to pray for them. You got to bless them. That's how you get through it. Matter of fact, that's the way we are revived, by following His instructions. If you refuse to pray for those who bless you, if you refuse to bless those who persecute you, if you refuse to follow His instructions, how can you be revived? You can't. Being revived, getting your life back, means following His word. Somebody comes against you, you forgive them. Somebody talks about you, you forgive them. You pray for them. You bless them. You don't hold it. What does Hebrews tell us about bitterness? Bitterness, it springs up as a root, and what's it do? It defiles you as an individual. Me being mad at Dorothy, it doesn't do Dorothy nothing. But it hurts me. I could be mad at Dorothy and talk about Dorothy. I don't talk about you, I'm just saying. I can call her names and I could convince Lori not to like Dorothy. But it doesn't do Dorothy anything. It defiles me. It's a bitterness that rises up in me and it defiles me. So we have to learn how to forgive one another. We have to learn how to let things go. That's why it says following His instructions revives us. We need a revival in this church. I tell you what. We need to have a 3-day revival and just blow the top of it off. All right, and then he finishes up 151, 152. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. You know what I like? I like that when he says all your commands are true. God's word is truth. Sometimes if you want truth, you got to go to God's word. Sometimes we try to shape God around the way we live. But we need to shape the way we live around the truth. Sometimes we do things and we justify why we do it. And we can find a verse or two to justify why we do it. But we need to take everything we do and fit it around the truth of God's word. If we do that, we will be revived. We will be revived. We will live. We will live in peace. We'll live in comfort if we let God revive us. And then in verse 152, I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. God's word lasts forever. It will last forever. Any questions on that before we go to the next? We're moving right along. In verse 153, he says, look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. You know what I like about this? David says, look upon my suffering and rescue me. You know, that shows us right there, we're going to suffer. Just because you walk with God, you're still going to suffer. You might suffer at the persecution of other people not liking you. You might suffer physically, have some pain. How many people have pains and aches this morning? Elbow hurting, the hips and backs and knees, everybody can identify with it. You know? But remember we talked about in Psalms 119:71 that he embraced the suffering because it kept him close to knowing God's word. Sometimes when we go through suffering, it causes us to pray a little bit harder. You know, it causes us to pray a little bit more. And once we pray, then we really get rooted and grounded in his word. But he says, look upon my suffering and rescue me. We're all going to hurt. We're all going to hurt. Just because you hurt, sometimes Christians think because you hurt, you're doing something wrong. There's a misconception there. Sometimes people think, well, if you're hurting, you must be doing something wrong. Remember Job? They came against Job. You must have sinned against God. He maintained his innocence. Just because you hurt doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means your body's failing. It means you got sick. Sometimes people get sick and they say, oh, the devil's after me. No, you got a common cold. I fell down and broke my arm. The devil's after me. No, you was clumsy. I mean, we give too much credit to Satan when he doesn't deserve it. Amen. You know, we do dumb stuff sometimes. No, we really do some dumb stuff. And then when we pay the consequences of our actions, we're like, oh, the devil's after me. No, he's not after you. You just did something stupid. We got to come to grips with that, you know. So we're going to suffer. But when we suffer, as David says, I have not forgotten your instructions. When you go through suffering, it draws you closer to God. How many times, you know, you ever get sick, you got that headache that's pounding. Boy, you're praying, God, take this headache away. Please take it away, you know. Or you're sick to your stomach. And you're praying, Lord, I need help. Sometimes when you're sick is when you go deep in prayer. Amen. That's when you really go deep in prayer. You're looking for comfort. You're looking for peace. And God says, why don't you pray to me like that when you're feeling good? Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we need to get to. So when you're home today and you're feeling good, go to him like you're sick. Just keep that fellowship. Keep that relationship going. If you keep that relationship going, then once you get sick, the relationship's there. Now you're not thinking, how many times you've been sick and you go to pray and you're like, oh, I did this wrong. Oh, I did that wrong. What if he hears me? Is he mad at me? You know, you start having all these thoughts and these doubts. But if you can worship him like that on an everyday basis, once you get sick, you can say, okay, God, here we go. We're going to go through it together. I know you're with me. I know you got my back. I know you're my father. I'm not going to worry about this.
I honestly did that the last time I got sick.
Good.
And I got out of it a lot quicker than Lonnie did.
Yeah.
From those 2 weeks, I had it for like, I didn't feel right for 2 or 3 days.
Anthony, I think that that's why it's so important to have your place of prayer or prayer closet.
Right.
As some of us call it. Because, you know, you walk into the kitchen and you're feeling the food and the smells and all that. And when you have a place that you pray at, whether it's in a chair in the corner or wherever it's at, I'm not saying you can't pray everywhere because we sure can.
Right.
But I just think that's why it's so important to set that time to have with God. Or if you need prayer, that you can go to that special place in your house. And right. Once you walk into, you just feel the presence of God and the comfort and the mindset to do what you need to do mm-hmm. in the Word. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You know, whenever I hear prayer, there's this automatically in me, there's another word that's associated with prayer. Obedience. I hear prayer, the first thing that comes to mind is obedience. Why do you think 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people humble themselves and pray, seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. You know, when we pray, sometimes we have to turn from our ways. Sometimes when, as this talks about, what we say was 23, 27 times the word obedience, obey, is used in Psalms 119. Obedience, obey, goes hand in hand with prayer. And I like that you bring that up, that prayer, because sometimes when we go to prayer, sometimes when I have something hurting or I'm going through something, I go to prayer and I say, God, is there something in my life that's not right? That's the first thing I have to ask. Because sometimes it's like you have a toothache. The pain says something is wrong. Sometimes when you go through life and you have pain, there's an underlining problem. The pain's not the problem, but what is causing that pain could be the problem. You know? And sometimes when we go to prayer, we have to identify where it's coming from first. And if we can identify it, it's either coming from a point of strengthening your faith, allowing you to go in like gold to be burning off the dross, or it's a consequence of your own actions. It's going to be one of the two. You know, so that prayer comes with obedience to look at your own life. And what does the book of James tell us? This is a mirror. The more we look at this, the more we see ourselves. You know, so you're right. You got to have that prayer time, that quiet time to really talk to God and say, God, what is it you want? What is it you want me to see? Is there something I'm missing? Which way are we going? And you have to have that prayer time.
And people need to be accountable, because I hear so many people say, well, I don't have time. They have time to do the things they want, and I don't care what they say. Mm-hmm. They always make time to do the things they want.
Right.
And you need to make time for God, because that's the most productive part of your day.
Right.
To make the rest of the day flow. So I won't say it makes me mad when I hear people say that makes me sad.
Right. Makes you sad because their relationship is not as strong as they want it to be. All right. Moving on. And verse 154. He says, argue my case, take my side, protect my life as you promised. You know what I like about this? God is your lawyer. He's the one that's going to take your side. You know, when I read through the book of Matthew or John, there's a section in there. Jesus didn't answer his accusers. Jesus stood before the governor. When he stood before the governor, he said, hey, they're accusing you of this and they're accusing you of that. Jesus didn't answer him. And Pilate said, do you not understand what they're accusing you of? Jesus didn't answer him. Sometimes we don't have to answer our accusers, because God's going to plead your case. He's got your back. He's got your back. And so many times we don't humble ourselves and we fight back. We answer back. And how many times have you answered back knowing you should have, you shouldn't have? And then there's a division. There's contention. There's strife. Sometimes God's saying, just humble yourself and let it go. I got your back. God's got your back. He's going to see you through. No matter what anybody does to you, he's going to be there for you. No matter what anybody says about you, he's going to be there for you. And so many times we let our feelings get hurt. I can't believe they talked to me like that. I can't believe they said that about me. And then we call on our friends and gossiping about them, complaining about them. Well, can you believe what they said about me? And God's saying, I'll plead your case, just let it go. And I like this. He says, argue my case, take my side. If there's anybody in this world that's going to take your side, it's God. If he's going to take your side, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. All you got to do is bless him. Pray for him. He goes on, he says in verse 155, the wicked are far from rescue, for they do not bother with your decrees. Lord, how great is your mercy. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Two things I see here. Number one, the wicked, they're not following God's word. The wicked that's not following God's word, you can't condemn them for the wickedness that they're doing. You can't get mad at them for the sin that they're engaged in. Your heart should break because they're not following God. That's a fine line. You have to see a sinner and understand that they're doing what they're doing because they don't have Jesus. Now, sometimes we try to change the sinner by saying, you need to stop drinking. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop cussing. We say stop, stop, stop. They can stop all those things, but if their heart's not right with God, they're still as bad as they was while they were doing everything else. And so many times we try to say, you need to stop this. And Rich, you need to stop this. And you know, we put all these things on people. No, they just need to be saved. How can we get people saved? By loving them. By praying for them. By not going off on them. That's why the Bible tells us that we are to bear each other's infirmities, each other's burdens. That we are to suffer long. There's a word I'm going to bring up this morning. Patience. Suffering long. We have to endure with one another. That's how we get into other people's lives. But and then the second thing was, let me be revived by following your regulations. Didn't we see that once already? If it's repeated twice, it must be there for a reason. If you want revived, if you want to live, sometimes people get depressed. Sometimes people fall into a state of depression. Sometimes people fall into an area where they're just not happy. They're not satisfied. Sometimes people need that revival. They need that joy. They need to be brought back to life, to live again. If that's you, be obedient to His Word. How do you be obedient to it? You got to get out and read it. If you're not going to read it, you can't be obedient to it. If you can't be obedient to it, you're not going to be revived. If you want revival in your life, be obedient to God's Word. Be obedient to God's Word brings revival. It brings joy. Has anybody ever lost that joy, lost that peace, lost that comfort? You find out that you're just going through the motions of life. You kind of look back and you see you're like a hamster on a wheel. You're just spinning around and going nowhere. Well, God can bring that life back into you. Bring that joy. Bring that joy back into your marriage. Bring that joy back into your life. He can bring that spark to give you that excitement. You know, sometimes you used to have that excitement of going to church. And then all of a sudden you lose the excitement and then you don't go no more. Sometimes we need that spiritual revival to wake up with the excitement of, God, what are you going to do today? I mean, waking up in the morning should be exciting. God, what are you going to do today? You going to send me that $1 million check? You know, you wake up and you should be excited. You know, I wake up with excitement. God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's do something today. What do you have? You know, the phone rings. Is that God? Is he going to give me something? You know, it should bring excitement on an everyday basis. Every day that God brings joy, He brings revival back to your life. You know, I get to thinking, when you get that kind of revival, when you get that kind of joy, it brings excitement. I get excited. I want to praise the Lord. I want to shout. I want to yell. I want to scream. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like it because they need revived. They need revived. Why is it we can have sporting events and we can go crazy and yell and scream? Why is it we can go watch our kids play baseball and we can yell and scream, but when we yell and scream for Jesus, it's like, oh, that's just over the top. Don't nobody do that. You know, we become offended by it. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that Jesus had revived my life. He's given me life. When I should have been dead, when I should have been in hell with my sin, Jesus paid the price. He brought me back to life. And He's given me joy. He's given me a new lease on life. He's given me direction. He's given me guidance. He's given me the opportunity to be with my family. He's given us things. That's enough to be excited. Amen. If I'm going to be the one to be excited, then I'll be the one to be excited.
So that reminds me of that story about David when he brought, what was the ark back? Or the
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Boy, he danced.
The streets, they were so excited. Yeah. Like, heck yeah. And
Denise is going to be dancing today.
Yeah,
I mean,
watch out.
But we need to let the excitement. We need to let the Lord's excitement just to take over us sometimes and just give Him a shout of praise and just understand that He loves us. That's the thing. He loves us. He loves us. He has so much in store for us, you know. Let me go on. In 157, he says, many persecute and trouble me, yet I have not swerved from your laws. Many persecute and trouble me. Imagine that. Imagine that. How many people have been persecuted and troubled by somebody? How many people have been talked about by somebody? How many people have been lied on by somebody? And sometimes that hurts our feelings. Sometimes that brings us down. And sometimes that brings us out of our square. And the next thing you know, we're thinking and having thoughts we shouldn't have. You know? But as David is saying, many persecute and trouble me. Guess what? They're going to persecute and trouble you. They did it to Jesus. They put him on a cross. Well, they're not putting people on a cross here in North Ohio, but people can lie on you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The more you can realize it, the better off you're going to be. So when it happens, you can say, oh, God, you was right. Your word says it. I see it now. Versus being upset. Why did they talk about me? I don't understand. I try to be nice to everybody. Why did they talk about me? God says, because I said they were going to. You know, we got to understand that. And then in verse 158, or let me back up real quick. As people talk about us, don't deviate from his word. Stay close to his word. If they talk about you, stay close to his word. Pray for him. Bless him. Don't get upset. Don't let bitterness creep up. Don't become angry. Don't get to the point where you don't even want to speak to him. I ain't talking to him no more. I ain't talking to her no more. You know, we really get attitudes toward other people. Mm-hmm. We can't get like that. We can't.
Sometimes
get.
Some people talk about you. It is the truth. We need to change.
There you go. Thank you. If people come to me and say, hey, you did this, and you maybe I did do it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I need to open my eyes and see myself, and maybe God's allowed them to say it because he wants you to see it.
And that happened to me.
That happened to you. Paul is just always just living wrong, I tell you what. We're all guilty of it, you know. But that's true, you know.
Then we have to thank him for showing that to us.
Yeah,
because it's a learning lesson. We need to go, okay, oh my gosh, she's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good when that happened, really. It was a big turning point.
So maybe I am foolish. I heard it all week from my family. All right. And then in verse 158 says, seeing these traitors makes me sick at heart. Why? Because they care nothing for your word. See how I love your commandments, Lord? Give back my life because of your unfailing love. The very essence of your word is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever. When you see people opposing God's word, your heart should break for them. It should break for them. I read a commentary on this. It says, a man, steady in the way of his duty, though he may have many enemies, needs to fear none. You don't ever need to fear anybody, even though you have many enemies. It goes on and says, those that hate sin, truly hate it as sin, as a transgression of the law of God, and a breaking of his word. Our obedience is only pleasing to God and pleasant to ourselves when it comes from a principle of love. Our obedience to God comes from a principle of love. And then this commentary went on and says, in every age, who receives God's word in faith and love, find every saying in it faithful. God's word is just. It's faithful. It's true. It's where we find life. And think about it. In his word is where we find life. We can do so many other things in this life, but we don't find true joy, life, peace, and happiness until we get in his word. Yeah, you can make money. Yeah, you can get a good job. Yeah, you can get a car, you can do all these things, but you will never have that joy, that abundance of joy in your life until you find life in Christ. You're just not going to find it.
There's contentment.
Yeah. And even as you get older, maybe in your younger years, you don't think about it much because you're just going through life. But when you get older, that's why the book of Ecclesiastes says, follow the Lord when you're young before your days become to the point you don't like life anymore. And sometimes people get to that age in their 40s, their 50s, where they don't enjoy living because they didn't take the time to find life in God's word. Or you can be 90 and enjoy life. And lightning came down. She enjoys life because you took the time to tap into the lifeline of God. You know, that's where your life comes from. You know. All right, we're not going to finish, but we're going to give it our best shot. In verse 161 through 168. Look at this. He says, powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart troubles only at your word. Or my heart trembles only at your word. You know, powerful people have money to harass you. Sometimes the powerful people, the ones that have money, the ones who have prestige, the ones who have power, those sometimes are the ones that hold you down. because they make you feel like you're on a different level. They make you feel like I'm up here, you're down here. But David says, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what degrees you have attached to your name. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you have. I only tremble at God's word. You know, that is the biggest thing I try to instill in my children. Don't give respect to people because of who they are. You give respect to God because of who He is. Too many times people want to respect teachers. They want to respect judges. They want to respect lawyers. They want to respect the high upper echelon of people because of what they've obtained and who they are. This ain't a dog and pony show. You respect God for who He is. That's the only person you tremble at. You know, when you know your word. Remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago in Psalms 119? It says that you become smarter than your teachers by following His word. You become smarter than your elders by following His word. You know, the more you're in His word, the more you respect God and you follow God. And when man's ways pleases the Lord, He'll make his enemies to be at peace with him. When your ways are pleasing to God, you'll earn the respect of everybody else. But even when those come up and they try to hold you down, don't let it face you. You only tremble at God's word. And then he goes on, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. You know, here we go. If somebody was to find $1 million of gold coins, do you think they would jump up and down and scream and yell? They would. So why can't we do that when we discover God? Why can't we do that when we see God? When we come together as a group, when we come together to praise Him and He inhabits our praises, can't we get excited? Because the book says, I rejoice in your word. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers great treasures. That gives me full authority to express myself by just rejoicing in the presence of the Lord as if I discovered treasure. In verse 163, he says, I hate and adore all falsehood, but I love your instruction. I like to take this verse to another level. We need to get to the point where we hate falsehood. Sometimes we embrace other people's false way of thinking because we're close to them. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I know them, that's not what they meant? We had a situation where somebody got caught stealing on the job. They got fired. And everybody said, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? They got caught. And somebody says, I don't believe they did it. I said, why not? Well, I know them. That's not who they are. You know, stealing is stealing. You got to hate every falsehood about it, regardless of who the person is to you. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your closest friend. If something is false, you have to hate falsehood. You're not going against the person. You're going against falsehood. We need to get to the point that sin is sin in our eyes, and we don't make any excuse for it. We can't make any excuse for it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, that's where we got to go. We got to understand that we have to be the people to stand up. I'm going to actually bring it up in church this morning, but I'll give you a sneak peek. We live in a nation now that has turned their back against God. God's looking for a people. He's looking for a generation who's willing to embrace His word and go with it. That's what He's looking for. America has turned their back on God. But God's looking for a group of people. He's looking for a group of people that says, God, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to live according to this. I'm going to think according to this. I'm going to walk according to this. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. And when it comes to that, then we need to withhold nothing. We need to hold nothing back and go forward in His word. That's where we find life. That's where we find victory. That's where we find revival. That's where we're born again. That's where the term comes from. So we just got to understand that we got to dislike, hate all kind of falsehood that comes your way. Don't make excuses because you know the person. Don't make excuses because you're close to the person. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Call it out for what it is. That don't mean you go beating them over the head with the Bible, telling them to get their life right. That would hurt. You got a big Bible, boy. I tell you, you hit me with that one. I might have that one in concussion tests. But, you know, we just got to understand that we got to get to the point that we dislike any falsehood, regardless who it is. And then moved on. 164, he says, I will praise you seven times a day because all your regulations are just. Here's David just saying, I'm going to praise you all day long. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday morning. But seven times a day. Praising. Live in an attitude of praise. Live in a constant prayer life. You know, you can praise him by just driving your car. You can pray as you're talking to somebody. Lord, don't let me say what I want to say. Lord, don't let me speak my mind. They're talking to me. I think, Lord, don't let me. Yeah, but we can continuously pray. And we can continuously praise him. It's just not reserved for Sunday. But praise is always. You wake up praising. You get ready to go to work. You get ready to go to school. Whatever you get ready to do, praising. Thanking. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You just praising. And then you get ready to go to bed at night, praising. Just live in the attitude of praise and worship. Verse 165. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I mean, if you're going to underline a verse, underline that one. Those who love your instructions, they have great peace and they don't stumble. Well, Lord, why am I always stumbling? Well, you don't follow my instructions. Lord, why am I always making mistakes? And he said, because you don't always follow my instructions. Lord, why am I always on my knees looking for help? Because you're not following my instructions. He says, if you read Psalms 119 and you go to your Bible and you look up verse 165, he says, those who love your instructions, as we talked about, and obeying them, they have great peace and they don't stumble. That kind of parallels with Galatians 5:16. 5:16 is something we always talk about. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you won't always be doing the wrong thing your evil nature wants you to do. So when people say, well, we're human. Yeah, we're human. But there's one greater that's inside of us called the Spirit. And when you follow the Spirit, you don't always do the wrong thing your evil nature wants you to do. If you're doing the wrong thing, it's because you told the Spirit no. God's too, he's too good. He tells me, Anthony, don't do that. And then I do it anyways. And then next thing you know, I'm stumbling. Next thing you know, I don't have no money because I done bought up all kind of stuff I didn't need. I let my lust get a hold of me. See, that back there saying amen. You know, I let that greed get a hold of me. You know, oh, my God, if I buy this, guess what I'll look like? That's pride. You know, I see that, oh, I want that. That's lust of the eye. God says, no, don't do it. And I do it anyways. And then I can't pay my tithes. Now I'm stumbling, and God's saying, I told you, don't do it. You know? And then we say, well, the devil's after me. He's attacking me financially. No, you just didn't listen. You know, this is what this is getting at. If we follow his instructions, we don't stumble. And then he says, I long for your rescue, Lord, so I have obeyed your commands. In verse 167, I have obeyed your laws, for I love them very much. Yes, I obey your commandments and your laws, because you know everything I do. You know, that's what's amazing. It's to understand God knows everything you do. I shared this with you once before, but I remember when I was doing jail ministry. This guy says, hey, pray for me. I'm going to the judge today. I said, look, I wasn't there. I don't know what you did. I said, the judge wasn't there. He don't know what you did. I said, but let's join in prayer and let's pray that whatever God saw on that particular day and moment, that you would be punished for that. He said, well, I did hit her. He said, I did pick her up and throw her through the window. Oh. All of a sudden, he start. When you can understand that no matter what you do, no matter where you're at, God sees it. He sees it. If you can understand that, maybe your ways will start being different. My kids can fool me all they want, but God's the one who looks after them. He's the one that they got answered to. You know, when I go out of the house, my wife trusts me because she knows, hey, you're walking with God, and if he wants to strike you dead for being stupid, that's your business. You know, so she don't have to worry about that because she knows there's one greater. You know, and that's where your trust in God has to come in because he sees everything you do. Everything you do. And that's what we got to understand. Let's read through this last one. We can finish it up maybe. He says, oh, Lord, listen to my cry. Give me the discerning mind you promised. There's that discernment I'm always talking about. Boy, I love discernment. Discernment says, I'm going to look through it. I'm not going to see the surface of it. Discernment says, yeah, the Supreme Court ruled in favor. Yeah, they're going to legalize marijuana. Yeah, they're going to do all. Discernment says, look through it. Discernment says all the doors making a way for the Antichrist to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's discernment. So I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to say, oh, Lord, we need to have rallies. No, we don't. We need to trust God. We need to have discernment. Look right through it and say, God gets the victory in the end.
It doesn't mean you can't get angry with
them. Yeah, you get angry because they are turned against God.
Right.
They've turned against God. But yet when God's word says, in the end times, people become lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They become more disobedient to their parents.
Evil becomes good.
Exactly. We see it. We see it. And when we complain about it, God's saying, why are you complaining? Think about it. God's saying, why are you complaining? I said my word is going
to
happen. I told you it's going to be a great falling away first. We're seeing it. We see it. And sometimes we complain and God's saying, why are you complaining? Could you imagine that conversation? I'm saying, God, I can't believe it. He said, what do you mean can't believe it? Didn't you read my word?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I read it. Well, I said it was going to happen. Well, Lord, I didn't think you meant now. I mean, what are you going to say? It's in there. It's going to happen. He says it's going to happen. Don't panic. Calm down. Calm down. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. You know? All he's saying is, I want you to live it. I want you to personally live it. Take it upon yourself to follow his word so when he comes back, he can find you faithful.
Amen.
And then he goes on in verse 171. Let praise flow from my lips, for you have taught me your decrees. Let my tongue sing about your word, for all your commands are right. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. O Lord, I have longed for your rescue and for your instructions. Your instructions are my delight. Let me live. Oh, I like this one. Let me live so I can praise you. Let me live so I can praise you. I'm a praising. I'm a praising. He let me live so I can praise him. And he says, and may your regulations help me. Let me praise you. Remember we talked about when we first started this. I praise him by the way that I live. That was in the beginning. I preached on that a little bit last week. I touched on it. Let me praise you by living as I should. If you're not living as you should, then you're not praising him. But I come to church and I raise my hand. I say, hallelujah, that's praising him. Well, let me live as I should because that's praising him. That right here says, let me live so I can praise you and may your regulations help me. Verse 176, the one we was looking for since day one. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. Sometimes we wander. Sometimes we stray. But God brings us back. The word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When God finds us where we have strayed away, that word that we've hidden in our heart, we need to live it. We need to be obedient to it. Any questions? Comments, complaints, criticisms? I'm open.
I wrote down love, and I think with me for the longest time, the men in my life would tell me how much they loved me. And you want to believe that, and so when people try to tell me about God's love, I really had a hard time with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people today, I find when I try to tell them about God's love, they don't get it.
People don't understand love.
They don't.
I could preach on love every Sunday, and yet people still don't understand it.
Right. They want the emotion of it.
Right.
Yeah. They want the emotion that comes with that word.
Boy, she knows how to get me fired up, don't she? Talking about them emotions. We don't go off emotions.
Right.
You know, love is patient.
First Corinthians.
Love is kind.
Right.
Right. Love does not demand its own way. And when people start demanding their own way, that's not love. If I say, hey, I need you to do this and I need you to do that and you don't do it and I get mad, that's not love. You know. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. If I can sit here and give you a record of everything you've done wrong to me, that's not love. I knew somebody that says, oh, I've forgiven them, but they had a paper of every wrong thing that person did wrong. I mean, they had it tucked away in a shoebox in the closet. They can sit there and give you a list of everything that person did wrong, but they'll say, I love them. Come on now, you know. But yeah, you're right. We have to love. Anything else? All right, let's close in prayer. Any prayer requests?
My sons.
Paula's sons. Anybody else? Denise?
My dad had a CAT scan done on his kidneys.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. We're just trying to get the whole blood pressure still under control. So I'm just asking God for either good results or to show us why we have high blood pressure and help us get it under control. Either way, and to open that man's eyes.
I would like continued prayer for my eyes.
I got a message from Colleen, and she just said, have a good Lord's Day and tell everybody that we said hi. We've made it halfway.
Colleen McMahon?
Yeah.
Megan McMahon's mom?
Yeah, her mom.
Michael Freight's foot and ankle still just really bad. We had an MRI done this past week. We go tomorrow to the doctor to have him evaluate because they can't figure it out. He's already had one operation, and so we got him to a surgeon this time, you know, and so just ask God to guide, direct, and
certainly will.
The right answer.
I would also like to.
You already had one.
My grandson Trevin, had swallowed lamp oil when he was with his grandma, and he's still having some complications. And they're saying it was this and it was that. And the last thing they said, he has aspirating pneumonia from vomiting so much, but they still don't know what's going on.
Definitely pray for him.
And I know it's in God's hands, and I know whatever way God takes it is the way it needs to be. But I suppose more prayer for his parents. And
anybody else? The prayer line is closed. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come to you once again, Lord, just thanking you for your word. Thanking you for this time that we can come freely and just inquire of your presence, that you could speak to us and that you could teach us. And Lord, as we went through this whole chapter of 119, we just asked that the key to obedience to your word would just stay upon our hearts, that as we walk out of here, that would be the first thing we think about daily, is just to praise you and be obedient to your word. And I pray, Lord, that it would open the door, that we could start reading your word on a daily basis, that we could get a verse, a scripture, a daily bread, to inquire your word, that we could just walk according to the ways that you showed us. And Lord, in that, we know that you bring us peace and comfort and a path of life that just revives us back to having that joy that you have for us. Lord, we lift up Paula and her sons. Lord, you know where her sons are at. You know what they're going through. You know exactly what they need. Lord, we just ask that you would send people their way just to share the love, to share the gospel, to share the peace that you have for them, that they would understand how much you love them. Lord, we just pray that you would just break their hearts. Sometimes pride gets in the way of accepting you, but Lord, we just ask that you would break that pride, that they would see the need for you, that they could open up and say, yes, Lord, I want you in my life. Lord, we just lift up Dennis, and we know that the doctors are trying to identify what's causing these problems, but Lord, you already know what's causing the problems. Lord, you're the great physician, the great healer. You've already known the things before we even asked of it. And Lord, we just pray that what you know, that you would reveal it to the doctors, that they could see what they need to see to treat this man. But Lord, we know that there's a bigger matter, and that's the spiritual matter. Lord, we just pray that you break his heart, that during this trying time, this stress and this trouble of his life, that he would see his need for you, that he would open up and say, yes, Lord, I want you. Lord, we pray for Renola, that you would just continue to heal her eyes. Lord, we just pray that you'd be there by her side, just hold her hand and let her know that what she's going through, she might not be able to see it in the natural, but she can see it in the spiritual. Lord, we just pray that you would just bless her and just give her that comfort and that peace and that trust in you, that she knows all things are going to work out. And Lord, we just pray for Michael and his foot. Lord, we know that he's had the one surgery and the doctors are trying to figure out what's going on. Lord, we just ask that you would open the doctor's eyes, that they could see what they need to see in order to treat that foot the way it needs to be treated. Lord, we just put this foot in your hand and ask that you would have your way with it. And Lord, we just lift up Trevin. Lord, we know he's ingested some poison and having some complications. Lord, we just pray that you touch his body. We pray that you would just heal him. Lord, we just pray that you would just see him through this process, that he would continue to be joyful, to continue to be that little boy that you caused him and created him to be. Lord, we just pray for the family, that they would start to identify maybe some wrongs in that area of maybe they didn't see what was going on. And Lord, just to bring them closer together, that they could rally behind and be the family that you want them to be, that they could walk with you and then just live with you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.